More than 1,000 IRS workstations never got updated from Windows XP because the agency couldn't find them all. The Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration says another 1,300 are still running even older software, despite the IRS spending $128 million on upgrades. Ralph Kahn is the Vice President for Federal at Tanium. He tells me more about the dangers of still running operating systems the manufacturers no longer support.
Clearly, there are going to be new vulnerabilities that are found. There are new vulnerabilities found in every operating system. And running an operating system or any piece of software out of support means that you're potentially vulnerable to those new hacks or new bugs or vulnerabilities as they're discovered. So it's never a good idea to run something past its end of life or end of support date. Now, with that said, you know, most of the agencies in the federal government have something running that's legacy, whether it be Windows XP or a legacy version of Java. One of the largest problems that agencies have is legacy applications that have been developed for it that are still in use that aren't as secure as they ought to be. So while the focus in this article was on the operating system, there are lots of other places inside an organization that create vulnerabilities that probably ought to be talked about as well.
And is it also safe to say probably hackers, knowing that organizations have these legacy OSs running, would be on the search for machines that have them, specifically because they can still find new vulnerabilities in them that nobody's patching?
That's right. So they will look very specifically for that. And there's a very low cost to hackers doing this, right? The spear phishing campaigns and you know, all they have to do is get into one system, and then they can look around the rest of the network looking for Windows XP or whatever vulnerabilities they might be able to find and expand their footprint and do more damage and collect more information.
And just how difficult is it for a custom-coded application to be adapted to go from, say, XP to Windows 7 or Windows 8 or now Windows 10?
So a lot of that really depends on the application and the components it uses. In many cases, I think developers have gotten away from dependencies on the operating system, but their dependencies on components like particular versions of a browser. A lot of old applications don't work on anything newer than, say, IE7, which still is a pretty old browser and has vulnerabilities. Same thing for Java. There are many, many applications out there written with older versions of Java, and in order to upgrade them, the government has to pay the contractor money. And, you know, some of them may not even be upgradable. And so the government is stuck with trying to make a decision about, okay, how valuable is this application to me, and what other mitigations can I put in place to mitigate the risk? The biggest problem the government has, frankly, is that it doesn't know what it doesn't know, meaning it doesn't know where all the applications are that are using legacy legacy technologies like old versions of Java, old versions of Windows. Counting and determining what's actually in use turns out to be a huge challenge for most government agencies.
But agencies no longer, at least as far as I know, walk around, you know, technicians with CDs, with gold copies and so forth, putting them in machines to update them. This is all done by the network. I thought that discovery issue was solved years ago.
So actually, it isn't. What happened is the government is by and large using a series of tools that are rather old and that are dependent on components that aren't always available. So, for instance, one of the most popular tools the government has, and I won't name it, in use today for taking inventory of things. Its endpoint client is non-functional somewhere between 15 and 25% of the time, meaning when you query your environment, you're going to get, kind of somewhere between 85% of the data you get back. And in many cases, you don't know that you're not getting back complete data. And so that turns out to be a big, big problem for the government. And so there's really no way for them to know, because the system doesn't self-report health. It just says, okay, here are the number of things I'm giving you back. It doesn't say, oh, yeah, you know, this 15% were offline or this 25% were online, but they're not responding. Getting that data back with the tools that the government uses today turns out to be very difficult. There are new generations of tools that do much better. They just haven't been widely adopted.
We're speaking with Ralph Kahn. He is the Vice President for Federal at Tanium. And is there another wrinkle in this with the average federal, I guess, white-collar or knowledge worker having more than one device, maybe a mobile device, maybe a laptop and a desktop type of PC in the traditional way? Maybe some of these tools will catch one of the devices the person has, but not the other. But the count or population that will come back to the tool will make it look like everybody got counted.
Yes, so I think that's right. With the proliferation of devices, that makes it a lot more difficult. And, you know, most of the agencies can't count what they know they have, and most of them can't detect, let's say somebody puts their personal laptop on your network. Many agencies can't detect that, and yet they'll have a rogue device running around on their network, you know, poking around, potentially looking at things. Now, that requires physical proximity, meaning, you know, you actually have to be somewhere you can connect to their Wi-Fi or you know, plug into their network port. But, you know, it does happen, particularly with agencies that have, you know, many, many distributed operations, right? Think anything that's got, you know, large operations out in the field, whether in the United States or abroad. There is always risk when you have those far-flung enterprises that, you know, locals may wander in and bypass physical security and plug something in. It might be it's something innocuous as a vendor demo, right? But nonetheless, most agencies don't have the ability to determine, hey, there's something on my network that I don't recognize. It shouldn't be there. What do I do about it?
So if something malicious should get into the network through a phishing attack, which seems to be the most common vector these days, It's likely that the agency would not even know, it's possible they would not even know what the attack source was in the first place. They would just know there's malware in there.
That's right. And in many cases, it takes them a long time to discover that. I think the amount of time it was published, the amount of time that OPM was affected before somebody actually discovered it was quite long, I think measured in months. You know, one of the things that Tanium believes very strongly is that agencies need to move to a posture where it's a lot quicker to detect anomalous behavior and a lot quicker to see that there's a problem. And, you know, there are new breeds of technology out there to do that. It's just a question of whether, you know, the agencies are able, either financially or through acquisition or, you know, understanding their requirements to step up to some of those new breeds of technology.
So that means if the IRS, for example, wanted to upgrade all of its machines, it can't because it can't find them all. So it seems like the first task before you do the upgrade is to do a thorough discovery.
That's right. And in many cases, organizations don't have the technology in place to do it. Let's say the IRS started today. Because of the acquisition rules, and these rules apply to every agency, not just the IRS, and frankly, this problem applies to every agency, not the IRS. So if any government agency today wanted to go ahead and do an inventory, most of them would have a very, very difficult time. They can tell you what they know. They can't tell you what they don't know. They can't tell you what they're missing. They can't see things on their network that maybe their normal discovery tools wouldn't have picked up. And most of the organizations have a very, very hard time with that.
And would there also be a side benefit in doing this and getting the discovery, getting a complete inventory, then upgrading everything, that you would make sure you would have a way to make sure that you are in compliance with licenses? Because if you've got all this Microsoft stuff running, for example, they are known to be aggressive on license compliance.
Mm-hmm. So actually, that's a good first step in license compliance. So understanding what's on your network is a good first step. Getting your management agent on that endpoint is the next step, and then being able to actually count what's installed on there. But you need to take it one step further. In many agencies, employees will download a copy of Adobe Acrobat full license or a copy of Microsoft Project, or they'll have a pilot going and they'll install a copy of Microsoft SQL Server Enterprise Edition on a VM that's got, you know, 10 cores. All of that's really expensive. And what agencies don't have the ability to do is figure out, well, okay, who's using it? So many of the counting tools, if they had one installed, will count. And they'll say, okay, you've got, you know, 150 copies of Adobe Acrobat, you know, 500 copies of Microsoft Project, and, you know, 500 cores worth of SQL Server installed. But what they won't tell you is how often it's used. And in many cases, agencies need to really kind of manage their software licensing by looking at usage, right? So if you've got 500 cores of SQL Server and only 250 are used, well, maybe you consolidate those servers and only pay for 250 cores. That could save you millions of dollars. But the majority of the tools out there that do the counting aren't able to monitor usage. And so, you know, there's a key component from a license management perspective, there's a key component missing that a lot of agencies could potentially use. If agencies went to a tool that was actually able to give them that data on a daily basis, they could change the licensing model to be a completely consumption-based model. So instead of paying a huge upfront capital cost for a software license, in anticipation of somebody using it, they could just pay for what they use. They could negotiate with the vendors and say, great, I want to pay per hour or per drink or per, you know, person using it per day, and put together a business model that actually matches the way they consume, that, you know, works for them and works for the vendor. You know, unless they implement tools like that and, you know, kind of shameless self-promotion, Tanium has that capability, they can't put those license models in place. But if they did, we're able to put the license models in place, they'd save a ton of money.